This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm just going to dive into college football, not basketball, football. I'm like a lot of the shows on this station. I'm kind of lined out right now. You got a whole week to go by for the bye, and then next week at Dallas. And what do you think about those fourth down calls? No, I'm not doing that. We're doing college football. And here's my thought. And help me out. And I'm not trying to overstate things or create arguments or discussion points. Well, maybe I am. No, I'm not. But I look at the big games this weekend, and the big one nationally is Alabama-Tennessee. If Bryce Young plays, Alabama will take care of them. Do people know for what has been considered over the years a pretty damn good rivalry, Alabama and Tennessee? It's at Rocky Top on Saturday at 3:30. Tennessee is a 7.5-point underdog. Tennessee's ranked 6th. Alabama ranked 3rd. Do people know that Alabama has won 15 straight games in that series? I mean, what kind of a rivalry ever has it that lopsided? Please. Yeah, and of those 15 straight, 13 of them were decided by double digits. So, yeah, I have a feeling Alabama has a few streaks like that against quote-unquote rivals. So we won't necessarily hold it against Tennessee, but I'm not buying Tennessee this weekend, although I do think they'll keep it close. No, the big ones we're talking about is Michigan-Penn State in the Big House, a top 10 matchup. First time they've both been in the top 10 since 1997. And you have Michigan State hosting Wisconsin, neither one in the top 10. But I think both of these games are going to be very revealing. And I want to know if you agree. If you disagree, don't even bother calling. No, of course you can call. But for two reasons. Well, one different reason for each team. For Michigan State, I really do. They're 2-4. They've lost 4 in a row in blowout fashion. And haven't looked good, haven't looked competitive. And I do think this is the game with a physical opponent coming in. And Wisconsin still has something to play for in the Western Division. The West Division, nobody's out of it there. I mean, what are they, 1-2 in the West Division? So Wisconsin has something to play for. Graham Mertz played a little bit better at quarterback, although against Northwestern last week. They still play kind of a punishing style of football. And they just might be playing for the interim head coach, Jim Leonard, a defensive specialist. That's why Wisconsin is favored by 7. If Michigan State is not competitive in this game, then this season is over, and it's a major concern. Like, you can't lay down Saturday. You just can't. And I'm not saying they've laid down. I think they've just been out-schemed and out-talented and everything else. But not every opponent has been Ohio State. There's also been Minnesota and Maryland in there. So they need, and I don't know, listen, win the game. I mean, of course, that would be great for them, absolutely. But you can't get blown out again. And you say, well, what are you going to do then, Woj? Well, I will certainly downgrade my assessment of where the program stands and going forward. So that is a major, major telling game for Michigan State. And I think it's a major, major telling game for Michigan. And Michigan's favored by 7. They've usually been pretty good against Penn State at home. They lost 2 years ago at home during the pandemic year, 27-17. But they won last year at Penn State. Penn State's undefeated, too. Penn State has had a couple of decent tests. They've won at Auburn. That's one of them. I know Auburn's not that good. Michigan won at Iowa. But this is going to be this is one of the playoff play-in games. The winner here, theoretically, then will face at some point Ohio State for a go to the Big Ten title game showdown. And Michigan, like I said, is favored by 7, and I think that's about right. And I'll tell you why. I think Penn State is good. They have a really good defense. They have a decent secondary with a great player in Joey Porter. They have a couple of good freshman running backs. But the quarterback has been there for, 100 years. They don't have dynamic receivers, per se. And this stat I noticed, and I think this is the telling stat going into the game. With Sean Clifford at quarterback for Penn State, not overly dynamic, can make a few plays with his legs. We still don't know for sure about Michigan's defense. They're actually ahead of last year's pace in sacking the quarterback. So I think they're pretty good. But we need to see it. And this is the stat that I think is going to be the factor in the Michigan-Penn State game. You ready? Whoever scores the most points. No. Penn State's offense is balanced but not explosive. Its two best running backs are freshmen. They don't have Jahan Dotson or really dynamic receivers. They have a good tight end. And they have Sean Clifford, who is in his sixth year of college football, and he's okay. The stat I'm referring to is Penn State. They have some decent offensive stats, but they are 103rd in the nation in third down conversions. Now, whoa, why are you going off the board with that stat? I feel like that is the most underrated stat in college football because third down conversions often are converted by mobile quarterbacks. And I think you're going to see that with J.J. McCarthy for Michigan as he becomes more comfortable running the ball and knowing when to keep and pitch on the RPOs. And I don't know if we're going to see that from Penn State. J.J. McCarthy also leads the country in completion percentage. That's obviously partly a function of the schedule they've played, but we'll know a lot more when Penn State comes to town because Penn State, although their secondary statistically isn't that great, but talent-wise it is. They've played a lot of teams that run the ball for some reason, just the way it's stacked up. A lot of teams that throw the ball and haven't been able to run the ball. So they've thrown a lot on the secondary, but it's still very, very good. So let me ask you, 248-539-9797. Are these two games Saturday in Ann Arbor and East Lansing, are they as telling as I suggest they are? And what do you think they will tell us? I think if Michigan takes care of business, and even if they win, you know, in rudimentary fashion, even if they win by 3 or 7, doesn't matter. You've really literally, as far from a national standpoint, only have one more test after that. And I know Michigan State, that's always obviously tricky for Michigan. But from just a looking from the outside talent standpoint, if Michigan passes this test, they're on their way. And for Michigan State, I mean, I've stopped short. I covered the game last week against Ohio State. I've stopped short of saying, you know, players are quitting or not giving their all. It's hard to say that when the other team is so talented like Ohio State. This would be a game I would say that if they got crushed again. Because it's the type of team that can snap the will out of you. And I don't think Wisconsin's going to pop all sorts of, they might just grind you into submission. So I think it's a very, and again, I'm not overstating, I think it's a very important game in the Mel Tucker regime. I do. And it probably would eliminate, not totally and officially, but practically from bowl consideration. And that would be a precipitous fall from 11-2. And for Michigan, if they don't win this game at home against a Penn State team that they've handled pretty well before they've slammed them a few times in Ann Arbor, then you got to start to question, okay, it really was puffery the first 4 or 5 games. And my opinion, I don't think it was puffery. I do think they'll beat Penn State. I don't think it's going to be a slaughter or anything, but I do think they will. I'm not a big James Franklin fan, and I've seen Michigan hammer Penn State a few times in the Big House. And the other thing that's weird about the Michigan-Penn State series, these two are so alike, I feel like. Like, you know, Jim Harbaugh, you know, came here. He was going to turn it all around, got a big contract, and fits and starts, and now he's got it going. James Franklin went to Penn State, won a Big Ten title, beat Ohio State a couple times, going to turn it around, great recruiter, gets a big contract. Fits and starts, but they are 5-0 right now, and it seems like every time one of these teams needs a boost, the other team helps out. Like 2 years ago in the pandemic year, which, again, doesn't count as much, but Penn State was headed towards a historically awful season. They came to Ann Arbor 0-5, and they beat Michigan 27-17, and they righted it a little bit. Go back to 1997, Judgment Day and Happy Valley, both undefeated. Michigan beat Penn State 34-8 and went on to win the national title. Go back to last year in Happy Valley. Is Michigan for real? Cade McNamara on the road? And he throws that touchdown pass. Eric All takes it to the house, and they beat Penn State 21-17. They really do a good job of enhancing each other's reputations. And it'll be the way for one of them tomorrow. Either Penn State's going to win a big road game against an undefeated team, or Michigan's going to win a big home game against an undefeated team. 248-539-9797. Are these telling games? And if so, what they going to tell you? That's what I'm asking. On the Wojo and Rieger Show, on 97.1, The Ticket.